There was a skit many years ago on Garrison Keillor's radio program, A Prairie Home Companion. Keillor's Guy Noir character, a morose private detective in St. Paul, Minnesota, is eating a breakfast big enough for four people on a cold Minnesota morning. Three times he has thanked the reedy voiced teenager waiting on him for one thing or another. And each time the kid replies, "No problem." It's enough to drive Keillor's Guy Noir into full curmudgeon. Of course, if you remember the show, that was never a long trip. "Brent," he asks, that's the kid's name. "Yeah?" "When I say thank you, could you try saying you're welcome instead of no problem?" "What do you mean?" "I mean, it drives me nuts. When I said thank you to hear no problem, I mean, problems or no problems have nothing to do. I'm expressing gratitude and you say, my pleasure, you're welcome, God bless you, whatever. It's just the English language, Brent, use it, okay?" "Sure, Mr. Noir, whatever." "Whatever is a word that could stand a little rest too. You mind?" "Hey," says the teen amiably, "no problem." Now that teenager may have been a foil for Keillor to grouse about linguistic foibles, but perhaps he's really a citizen of the world. I suggest this because while preparing for this service, I got to wondering, how do people respond to expressions of gratitude in other languages? I have a friend who's a linguist. So when I first prepared the sermon some years back, I asked her on Facebook where I could learn what people say in other languages when someone says thank you. And so she asked her colleagues, and the response was really delightfully overwhelming. If I printed out the list of answers and carry it around with me, I could probably respond politely to people in six different continents if they thanked me for something. A Dutch response says, "Happily done." Danes and Norwegians say something that translates roughly as "just nice." In Hungarian, one response is "from the heart," which the informant who put this in the chat explained means it was done with complete willingness, i.e. not coerced. The Japanese might set a record with 15 different words or phrases to respond to a thank you. And there's a Chinese expression that comes out something like "don't mention it." We've probably heard that in English. In many other languages, it turns out the standard response to thank you is actually a lot like "no problem." That's literally the response in Korean. In Swahili, it is "hakuna matata," no worries. Now, where have we heard that before? In French, when someone says "merci," you say "de rien," it's nothing. Spanish response is pretty much identical, "de nada." And the same appears to be true in many other languages. Variations on "it's nothing," "don't mention it," "no problem." We were probably all taught as children to say "you're welcome" when some thanked us. But how many of us really say it now? The truth is, "you're welcome" in contemporary English can have a bit of a double meaning. One of the best examples of this is in the Disney cartoon Moana. Here's where I would have loved to have played the video, but we can't because of Zoom and copyright and all that stuff. When the title character confronts the demigod Maui, whom she blames for this blight that has fallen upon her island home community, Maui responds by ignoring the reason for the anger she is directing at him, and instead launches into a song in which he brags about all of the good things he's done for humanity. "Yes, it's really me, it's Maui. Breathe it in, breathe it out. I know it's a lot, the hair, the bod, when you're staring at a demigod. What can I say except you're welcome? For the tides, the sun, the sky, hey, it's okay, you're welcome. I'm just an ordinary demigod." So he goes on taking credit for all of creation. Well, anyway, let me say, you're welcome for the wonderful world you know. Then he tricks Moana by shutting her up in a cave and stealing her boat. Now, let's be honest, who among us hasn't at some point said, you're welcome, with just a slightly snarky tone to perhaps make the point that we haven't been appropriately recognized for our beneficence? And perhaps there are those of us who have experienced, as Moana does, the same insincere expression as a precursor to a passive aggressive, if not actively aggressive, act. So that moment sheds a light on how gratitude itself, the expressing of that emotion, and how we respond to it, has two very different faces. And that is perhaps one of the most surprising and thought-provoking points that I found when I read the book Grateful by Diana Butler Bass, published in 2018, from which our reading was taken. She is a historian of American religion and a liberal Christian theologian. She's written a number of books about how the American religious landscape is evolving. One of those, Christianity After Religion, which I've been rereading lately, describes the sharply growing number of people who quite happily decline to identify with any religion. In another, Grounded, published a few years later, and a few years before Grateful, she embraces a theology that situates God in the physical universe and human experience instead of the distant heavens of ancient imagination. In Grateful, Bass makes the case for a deeper, richer embrace of gratitude in our culture. And most important, it is a gratitude that doesn't ignore all of the troubles of our times. And it's in fact, it's informed by them. So the irony is the book was written in the aftermath of the 2016 presidential election. And during the first few months of the Trump administration, that irony is not lost on her. So Dr. Bass uncovers two fundamentally contradictory paradigms of gratitude. Both of them are as old as humanity and as recent as today. She describes one of those paradigms in the passage read this morning. The culture of Imperial Rome was shaped like a pyramid with small, immensely powerful and wealthy ruling class at the top, layers and layers of larger and poorer classes the farther down you go. And in that culture, as the reading describes, gratitude helped grease the machinery of hierarchy. It was the subject of an elaborate set of rules and customs. We talk of owing a debt of gratitude, but as she observes in the imperial realm, debt was not just metaphorical, but literal. And it was a mechanism of ruthless control. She points out that this sort of gratitude is transactional, based on quid pro quo, a Latin expression meaning this for that. She writes, benefactors in order to receive something in return, obedience, loyal, or payback. This aspect of the gratitude system is about maintaining status and privilege. Gifts are about what you get in return. Beneficiaries are always enthralled to benefactors. You can either be a subject of the system or you can control it. And Bass argues that that very gratitude system animated Donald Trump's candidacy and his presidency. She writes, gained from the system his entire life. And he views his rightful role, she continues her words again, as the top benefactor, the one who could use the system to benefit the right people who would return him loyalty and honor. But there is another way. There's a paradigm of gratitude that is not in service to power and hierarchy. Instead, grounded in mutuality and caring. Some of that is embodied in the words which have their counterparts in many different faiths, do unto others as they would do unto you. Bass is a Christian, and she finds that message in the Gospels and in the words of the life of Jesus, but she's also a pluralist and claims no exclusivity for her own faith. Generosity and love of neighbor are embedded in faiths world over, she points out, and are embodied as well by atheists and agnostics. By whatever name and whatever creed or lack of one, spiritual wholeness is found in rejecting what Bass calls the gratitude system of patronage, privilege, power, and quid pro quo, and dismantling the social structure of the pyramid that it sustains. In its place, she calls us to embrace an ethos of abundance and sharing for the common good. In Latin, pro bono, not quid pro quo. And instead of a pyramid of power, she offers the metaphor of a table, overflowing, shared by all, and with enough for all. And when we unchain gratitude from hierarchy and power, she suggests, we cannot help but mix our faith, whatever it might be, and politics. Bass describes participating in the Women's March in Washington, D.C. on the day after Trump's inauguration. Someone invites her into a dance circle led by Native Americans, accompanied by drums and chants and prayers. And she writes, "The circle widened, bringing in more dancers whose skin tones reflected every shade from black to white. People laughed and chanted and circled around, holding hands, praying for the world, for the nation, for our souls. This circle, this dance, had existed since the beginning of time, a circle where all joined together with the song of the universe. It was deeply spiritual. It was profoundly political. The gift of the dance had been given long ago, and the dancers participated in it and passed it on to others. No hierarchy, no quid pro quo. The whole world is grace. Gifts received, gifts were given, gifts given. The circle widened, inviting all nearby to join. It kept expanding, bringing people in. More room was made for the dance, an infinite circle. All this," she writes, "unfolded around me, unexpected, unplanned. I felt so grateful. I felt empowered to love and do justice, to do better and practice a life of gratitude. The whole world is grace. Gifts received, gifts given." And when I read those words, when I first read this book, and when I read those words now, those words of your welcome take on a profound meaning, new and ancient. Your welcome isn't simply a polite response to another's gratitude. It's the very spark of gratitude. It is a commitment to our common humanity. It is a radical commitment. In this time of empowered indifference, exclusion, and hatred. Every Sunday morning, when we gather here and online to worship as part of the James Reeb Unitarian Universalist Congregation, we make a point of emphasizing that we are welcoming to all who join us, old and new. That was something that caught my attention and moved me deeply from the first time I came to Reeb back in early 2020. And as I've become part of this congregation and its life together, I see that lived out here from time and time again. From the moment I come in the door on Sunday morning to the casual and open greetings I hear in the time together after church, to the many ways in which this congregation has shown up to walk alongside so many in our community in the name of social justice, inclusion, and love. I've seen that especially in the work being done now to actively dismantle racism within and without. It's being begun by the Eighth Principle Task Force, embraced by all of us here, I think, and work that we're going to be leaning into in the coming year. And I have to say, something that I appreciate about the spirit in which that work is happening is that it is not transactional. I am not hearing this be about how do we get more people of color and other marginalized folks to show up here at Reeb. Instead, it's about how do we show up for all people who are pushed to the margins in our culture and society. Now, perhaps by doing what we're doing, some who live in those margins will find a home with us and enrich our community here at Reeb. But I really think it's important and healthy that the motivation I see and hear and experience to be welcoming for its own sake, welcoming for the public good, pro bono, not welcoming quid pro quo. And to be invited into the circle of sharing in this way, in the way that Diana Butler Bass describes that day in Washington, is to be welcomed. In our best place, we cannot help it. We instinctively respond with gratitude. We do so because we have already heard your welcome. The words that follow when we say thank you and somebody says you're welcome, simply become an affirmation of that fact. When others express gratitude to us for what we have given from our best self, the same is true. We have welcomed them into that circle of sharing. And by our words, we now reaffirm that. We are saying, no hierarchy, no quid pro quo. The whole world is grace. The circle is infinite. May it be so. And may we be so.